Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one for the record program number 760, Bitcoinberg, the Rebels Without a Clue. This program is being recorded on October 27th of the year 2013. We're going to be taking a short break from our coverage of L'Affaire Snowden, so to speak, the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden, and we're going to be taking a look at something that, although this may appear to be something of a detour or a diversion, it actually is very closely connected, as the various aspects of the Snowden op, and it is an operation, Snowden is a spook, as they are unfolding, I'm looking at how they are inextricably linked with so many other things. And for people who are just tuned in, I was off the air for the better part of 2 years due to a serious illness. I'm just fine. I'm getting my new chops after major oral surgery. And we've got a lot to catch up on. And even though I was off the air for 2 years, I was writing away. I was writing since October of 2011. I was right out of the intensive care unit. Go to the news and supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website at www.SpitfireList.com. Just go to the categories section, bring up news and supplemental. It's all there. And I'm writing the descriptions as we go. So if you want to get a head start on what we're going to be accessing in future programs, it's all there. Now, as I said, this is something of a detour, although not really, because we're going to be looking at what I call the Palestinian Libertarian Organization. We're going to be taking a look at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, the Underground Reich, probable BND elements, and so forth. And we're going to see how all of this hooks right back up. Now, Bitcoin is a form of virtual currency which has garnered a lot of publicity. The actual origins of it are quite mysterious. A fellow from Japan named Satoshi Nakamoto allegedly developed it, although he's quite mysterious. And there is a very strong working hypothesis that we're going to explore that alleges actually some very different elements were behind this. Now, we're going to enter with the discussion with a post that I did on October 7th of this year, 2013. This is called Alleged Silk Road Inventor is a Ron Paul and Ludwig von Mises Fanatic. The Ludwig von Mises Institute is a fount of economic and social theory that Ron Paul relies on, that Eddie Snowden relies on. It is explicitly and overtly anti-democratic. It is explicitly and overtly very pro-Confederacy, not just the Confederacy of the Civil War period, but it is inextricably linked with the neo-Confederate movement and views slavery, yes, slavery, very favorably. And not just African-American slavery of the pre-Civil War period, but one of its resident scholars and a top Ron Paul aide, as I've said so often, Walter Block, has developed a doctrine he calls voluntary slavery, the ultimate in oxymorons and the ultimate collateralized debt obligation. Now, I'm going to plunge right into this post. My commentary reads as follows. Alleged mastermind of the Silk Road online clandestine funding and merchandising network, Ross Ulbricht, is a devotee of Ron Paul and of the Ludwig von Mises School of Social and Economic Theory. Exemplifying the apparently well-meaning but sadly misinformed young citizens attracted to Ron Paul and the von Mises School, Ulbricht appears to exemplify the adage that the silk question mark road to hell is paved with good intentions, unquote. Ron Paul is a hardcore fascist, joined at the hip with Nazi and white supremacist elements. The Ludwig von Mises Institute is explicitly anti-democratic and is joined at the hip with a neo-Confederate movement which justifies African-American slavery and rationalizes a future secession by the southern states. Indicative of Ulbricht's superficiality is his statement that, quote, just as slavery has been abolished most everywhere, I believe violence, coercion, and all forms of force by one person over another can come to an end, unquote. By the way, parenthetically, when he was arrested a couple of weeks ago, one of the things with which he has been charged is putting out a contract killing on one of his online opponents. Continuing, in addition to the von Mises Institute's justification of African-American slavery prior to the Civil War, Walter Block, an aide to Ron Paul and a Ludwig von Mises Institute scholar, has crafted what he calls voluntary slavery. And again, we view voluntary slavery as the ultimate collateralized debt obligation. Both Ulbricht and Silk Road use bitcoins, a form of virtual currency, which will be the focal point of future programs. By the way, that's my commentary. It's the focal point of this program. Now, an article from Forbes magazine of October 2nd of 2013 by Ryan Mack, M-A-C, Who is Ross Ulbricht? Piecing together the life of the alleged libertarian mastermind behind Silk Road. It reads in part, while at Penn State, Ross Ulbricht was also politically active. A member of the school's College Libertarians group, he took part in on-campus debates that were documented by the school's newspaper, the Daily Collegian. In one article from March of 2008, Ulbricht is identified as a supporter of Ron Paul, who had attempted to become a delegate for the then-presidential candidate at the Republican National Convention. Quote, there's a lot to learn from him and his message of what it means to be a U.S. citizen and what it means to be a free individual, he told the school paper, again quoting, he doesn't compromise his integrity as a politician, and he fights quite diligently to restore the principles that our country was founded on, unquote. In Silk Road's community forums, the Dread Pirate Roberts, as Ulbricht called himself, always made the libertarian underpinnings of his organization clear. In October 2012, he noted in a post, quote, Silk Road was founded on libertarian principles and continues to be operated on them. The same principles that have allowed Silk Road to flourish can and do work anywhere human beings come together. The only difference is that the state is unable to get its thieving, murderous mitts on it, unquote. He called Ron Paul a mighty hero in my book, in the note from November 2012. By the way, one of the major uses, arguably the major use of Silk Road, is online drug and contraband trafficking, false IDs, allegedly weapons and other things. That, in addition to allegedly putting out a contract killing this nonviolent person, unquote, that's why they busted him. More about Silk Road. This from the Business Insider, also of October 2nd of 2013. An article by Jim Edwards. This is the physics student and used bookseller who allegedly ran the Silk Road market for drugs and assassins. It reads in part, speaking of Ross Ulbricht, but he lost his interest in physics and chemicals sometime after he graduated from Penn State in 2008 in favor of a new passion, libertarianism. He wrote on his LinkedIn profile, now my goals have shifted. I want to use economic theory as a means to abolish the use of coercion and aggression amongst mankind. Just as slavery has been abolished most everywhere, I believe that violence, coercion, and all forms of force by one person over another can come to an end. The most widespread and systemic use of force is amongst institutions and governments, so this is my current point of effect. The best way to change a government is to change the minds of the governed, however. To that end, I am creating an economic simulation to give people a first-hand experience of what it would be like to live in a world without the systemic use of force, parenthetic, except when he's putting out contracts on opponents. Continuing, Ubix became a fan of the Austrian School of Economics, a conservative take on the free market. The indictment against him says he became a devotee of the Mises Institute and that the writings of Ludwig von Mises and Murray Rothbard provided the philosophical underpinnings for Silk Road, unquote. Silk Road was in many ways the apotheosis of free market economics because it was completely encrypted and completely anonymous using Bitcoin, an uncrackable cryptocurrency, unquote. It stood outside any government regulation at all, including the criminal law, until today. And again, the irony is in what Ulbricht has come to, what he said, and the realities of the institutions and individuals that have inspired him, Ludwig von Mises, Ron Paul. Well, there could be no more grotesque irony. And again, I want to note about Ron Paul very quickly. He is a seducer, and because he says a lot of things that people want to hear, he has been very successful in recruiting people to his cause, people who would be absolutely horrified if they realized what he really is all about. And by the way, Eddie Snowden is part and parcel to this same milieu. To make a very, very, very long story very, very short, and I've done many programs about this with many more to come, what part of slavery don't you understand? Okay, freedom couldn't have less to do with what these people and interests are all about. Now, more about Bitcoin. This from a post that I did on October 10th of 2013. Bitcoinberg, who developed this virtual currency, unquote. My commentary. In 1985, Ronald Reagan incurred the wrath of many when he agreed to visit the Bitburg Cemetery in Germany where Waffen-SS soldiers were interred. In this post, we examine the origins of the Bitcoin virtual currency, which evolved into the online currency of choice for the customers of the Silk Road Network. Alone among sovereign nations, Germany has recognized Bitcoin as legal tender, following on the theories of Friedrich von Hayek of the Austrian School of Economic Theory, disseminated from, among other institutions, the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Credit for creating this virtual currency is generally given to one Satoshi Nakamoto. An article at Fast Company online magazine hypothesizes that three individuals named Neil J. King, Charles Bry, B-R-Y, and Vladimir Oksman, O-K-S-M-A-N, are the true originators of Bitcoin. And by the way, I'm going to read some text excerpts. I want to stress that the actual full text of the analysis and working hypothesis is very complex, relatively complex and technical. I think it would make poor radio. And believe me, when I say it would make poor radio, I know what I'm talking about. If I don't want to read it on the air because I think it will make poor radio, you can bet it is some very dense analysis. However, that's why I do the descriptions of the programs with links to all of the text. So please read that. And I want to note that one of the reasons why I suspect that Adam Pennenberg's argument about Messrs. Bry, King, and Oksman being the true originators of Bitcoin are the fact that he does not realize that all three of those people work for the same company. He just, on the basis of some of the patents that they applied for and some of the things they have had to say, came to that conclusion. He did not realize that all three work for a company called Lantic, L-A-N-T-I-Q. More about that later. And we're going to continue with my commentary. Of more than passing interest under the circumstances is the fact that all three of the hypothetical creators of Bitcoin work for a company called Lantic. Lantic is a German-based firm that has evolved from Siemens. Siemens spun off Infineon AG, a semiconductor firm. Then Infineon and Golden Gate Capital created Lantic. Golden Gate Capital was formed by alumni of Bain Capital, which was Mitt Romney's firm, by the way. More about that later. In addition to the links to the death squad manifesting El Salvadorian junta of the 1980s, Bain has links to the milieu of the late billionaire Howard Hughes, as well as the milieu of Bebe Rebozo's banking operations. Bebe Rebozo, by the way, a close friend and a professional associate of Richard Nixon. Continuing, Rebozo appears to have had links to the Borman Capital Network. If we were going to express this link in biblical phraseology, it would go something like this. And so Siemens begat Infineon, and Bain Capital begat Golden Gate Capital, and Infineon did lie with Golden Gate Capital, and thus did Infineon beget Vontik, unquote. Some of the purposes of the development of Bitcoin, as well as the way in which it has been manipulated, will be discussed in a future post. Among the points to be considered here are: Siemens functions as something of a quartermaster for German intelligence, the BND, the successor organization to the Reinhard-Gehlen spy outfit. Siemens is inextricably linked with the BND, as well as with the Borman Capital Network, about which I speak so often. With Lontik having evolved directly from Siemens, Lontik's possible connections with BND should be carefully weighed. Lontik's links with Golden Gate Capital, run by alumni from Mitt Romney's Bain Capital, warrants consideration that both Lontik and Golden Gate Capital may be underground Reich or Borman entities. We have noted that Infineon AG, this, by the way, is in a post that I have already written. It will be included in one of the future programs about the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. Resuming, we have noted that Infineon AG is a leading producer of TPM chips, which were cited by the German press as a backdoor source for NSA snooping. We wondered at the time if that TPM backdoor might actually be a BND backdoor. By the way, Microsoft denies that, and some tech analysis that we will access in future programs or pour cold water on the allegation in the German media. Continuing, Neil J. King has denied Adam Pennenberg's musings. King may, of course, be doing so honestly. If Bitcoin's development was in conjunction with the BND, denial would be pro forma intelligence methodology under the circumstances. And some of the links here. The main article is from FastCompany.com's issue of October 11th of 2011. It's called The Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Mystery Reopened, and it's by Adam L. Pennenberg, P-E-N-E-N-B-E-R-G. And this relies on some very dense analysis of some of the patents that have been filed by these people, and some very interesting, and he suspects, and I agree with his suspicions, telling coincidences between the filing of the patents and the development of various aspects of Bitcoin. Now, again, please use the description for the program. There are links to the actual FastCompany.com article of October 11th of 2011. Now, again, the three individuals whose patents and the timing of the filing of those patents he cites are Neil King, Vladimir Oksman, O-K-S-M-A-N, and Charles Bry, B-R-Y. And all three have filed numerous patent applications over the years. And then picking up with some of the text, Neil King also goes by Neil J. King, is from Munich, Germany, and he talks about some of the patents that he has that have been granted to him. Charles Bry, who also resides in Munich, has filed several applications, many dealing with nodes and networks. Vladimir Oksman, who lives in the U.S., has several patent applications too, and they too seem related to networks and nodes. I have found another patent application that lists the three of them as inventors, filed in June of 2008, 2 months before the Bitcoin.org domain was registered. Now, again, this is a very technical analysis, and I think the reading of this is likely to perhaps pass the point, be counterproductive. Go to the description of this particular post, and this, by the way, will be in the description for this program. The post is Bitcoinberg, who developed this virtual currency. I posted that on October 10th of 2013. And the article again, The Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Mystery Reopened, is by Adam L. Pennenberg, P-E-N-N-B-E-R-G, fastcompany.com, from October 11th of 2011. Now, among the things, although he did note that two of these people that he suspects, and I suspect his suspicion is accurate, were the actual developers of Bitcoin, not Satoshi Nakamoto, unquote, he realizes that one of them worked for Lontek, but he does not realize that all three of the people whom he suspects of developing Bitcoin all work for the same company. Now, from the LinkedIn entries on these people, Neil J. King from LinkedIn.com, excerpt, I represented Lontek, L-A-N-T-I-Q, in home networking standards, and he has a number of other activities on behalf of Lontek in his LinkedIn entry. And in a short text excerpt from the Adam Pennenberg article, Charles Bry traveled to Finland in late 2007, 6 months before the domain was registered. In addition, Bry, who is a systems engineer, lists German, English, French, and Italian as languages he speaks, and went to college in Paris. He works for a company called Lontek, skipping down. The Vladimir Oxman described above is the wrong one. The right one is listed on LinkedIn as having worked as a technical marketing director for a semiconductor company called Lontek. And then what Adam Pennenberg does not realize is that the third person, Neil J. King, again from his LinkedIn.com file, I represented Lontek in home networking standards, and he has done a number of other things on behalf of Lontek as well. Now, about Lontek from Wikipedia.com. Lontek is an international fabless semiconductor business of approximately 1,000 people. Lontek's central functions and the executive management team are located at Lilienstalter 15 in Neubiberg near Munich in Germany. Lontek makes semiconductor solutions for next-generation networks and the digital home, and via its Infineon heritage has an over 20-year record of technology development. From Lontek.com's website about the history of the development of that company, Infineon completes the sale of wireless business. Lontek becomes a standalone business. Infineon Technologies, from November 6th of 2009, Infineon Technologies AG and Lontek today announced the closing of the sale of Infineon's wireline business to Lontek, an affiliate of the U.S.-based investor Golden Gate Capital. Now, of Golden Gate Capital, we see the following from Wikipedia.com. Golden Gate Capital Partners is an American private equity firm based in San Francisco, California. The firm makes investments primarily in mature technology companies as well as other select industries through leveraged buyout transactions as well as significant minority purchases and growth capital investments. The firm was founded in 2000 by former investment professionals from the private equity firm Bain Capital, as well as business consultants from its affiliate, Bain and Company. And then, from Wikipedia as well, about Infineon Technologies, we read, Infineon Technologies AG is a German semiconductor manufacturer founded on the 1st of April 1999 when the semiconductor operations of its parent company Siemens AG were spun off to form a separate legal entity. As of September 30th of 2010, Infineon has 25,149 employees worldwide. In fiscal year 2010, the company achieved sales of 3.295 billion euros. And then some text here. Bitcoin recognized by Germany as private money. This article by Matt Clinch of CNBC.com of August 19th of 2013. Virtual currency Bitcoin has been recognized by the German Finance Ministry as a unit of account, unquote, meaning it can be used for tax and trading purposes in the country. Bitcoin is not classified as e-money or a foreign currency, the finance ministry said in a statement, but is rather a financial instrument under German banking rules. It is more akin to private money, unquote, that can be used in multilateral clearing circles, unquote, the ministry said. Quote, we should have competition in the production of money. I have long been a proponent of Friedrich August von Hayek's scheme to denationalize money. Bitcoins are a first step in this direction, said Frank Schaeffler, a member of the German Parliament's Finance Committee. Germany, again, the only country that recognizes Bitcoin, and they do so because of Friedrich von Hayek's theories. Friedrich von Hayek, a disciple of the Ludwig von Mises School. And again, note the Lontic affiliations of Neil King, Charles Bly, and Vladimir Oxman, all three working for Lontic. Lontic and Golden Gate Capital spun off that Lontic. Lontic and Golden Gate Capital came from Infineon, which came from Siemens, one of the core German corporations, a key Bormann company. Go through the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, which is available for download for free in the books section of the SpitfireList.com website, and just do a search for Siemens. Siemens is also inextricably linked with German intelligence. When you hear the name Siemens, think Bormann, think BND. I also want to note that Bitcoin itself is a wonderful vehicle for the moving of contraband and for clandestine operations. In fact, its very essence is clandestine. It has been a major vehicle for drugs and assassins, as that one article noted, and it would be superb for intelligence operations, for perhaps helping to fund jihadist operations using Muslim Brotherhood elements as proxy warriors for the Underground Reich. Now, inside two of this program, we're going to take a look at the assault on the dollar as a reserve currency, that being undertaken by the shutdown milieu in the GOP, the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, as I call it, inextricably linked with that. And we're also going to take a look at some of what Bain Capital was about. I was off the air during the 2012 campaign. We're going to take a look at Bain Capital and Citizen Romney. Now, be sure to use the descriptions for the programs and the other information available on the SpitfireList.com website. SpitfireList.com. There also is a flash drive available containing all of my life's work. You can order it from the website or through the various stations that carry this program. This concludes Side 1, For the Record program number 760, Bitcoinberg, Rebels Without a Clue. This program is being recorded on October 27th of the year 2013. My name is Dave Emery. Ciao.